Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss joins the reports from Pennsylvania. Jeff, a very good evening to you. This is very, very brittle right now. There's a lot of information unavailable. However, when did you first hear of the shooting and what did you learn right away? Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, John. I heard about the shooting just within probably a minute or so after it happened. I was monitoring social media for some other things. It came up a flurry of taglines about assassination and president shot, President Trump shot. So I went to Twitter, checked that out first, and then moved over to network news on TV. And that's where they had it. That's where the first place I saw the video of the reported shooting. And now we don't know for sure all the details yet. But it appears that several shots were taken. The president went down when people yelled at him to get down. Doesn't appear that he was hit by anything that knocked him down, although he did go to his right ear. And when they brought him back up, his right ear and side of his face had a lot of blood on it. But he walked off the stage very defiantly, pumping his hand, saying, fight, fight, fight. And as he went down to the escort motorcade, before he got it, he was ushered into the motorcade. He turned around and said, actually stood up on the door sill or the door frame, raised his hand and said, fight, fight, fight again, and then was bundled away. It appears that there were three shots to begin with that led this thing off. And then after he went down to the ground and was covered by the Secret Service for his protection, it sounds like another six or seven shots. Of course, it's always hard to tell. You never know exactly with echoes, and it appears that the shots were coming from stage right. In other words, as President Trump was looking at the crowd, it would be on our left side of the screen. Most of the people who were looking at something going on in the crowd looked in that direction, and that would comport with what it appears to be an injury to his right ear, the one that he grabbed after some of the shots, and that was where all the blood is coming from.
There was a reviewing stand behind him, but it was well back. We could see the people holding signs up. And there's no indication that there was anyone else struck. Is that correct, Jeff?
That's correct. And that further, gives some strength to the argument that it came from the side. Because had somebody taken a shot at the president straight on with that kind of background behind him, and only hit the president maybe once, if that, you'd assume that somebody back there would have been hit, and it appears nobody else was. There are no reports of any other injuries. So it's just President Trump who had this injury, was taken to the hospital, has been checked out. The Secret Service and the Trump campaign are both saying he's fine. Matter of fact, the Trump campaign issued a statement saying President Trump thanks law enforcement and first responders for the quick action during this heinous act. He is fine, is being checked out at a local medical facility. More details will follow. So that's where we are with that. He seems up and around. It looks like he was going to be fine when they got him away, but you never know until they really check him from head to toe.
Elon Musk has sent out a tweet about the incident. What did he want, Jeff?
He said, you know, have we had anybody this tough as a president since Teddy Roosevelt? Now, I don't think anybody could say, you know, the Rough Rider, the famous Rough Rider and, you know, frontiersman that Teddy Roosevelt was, is the same that Trump is, but I think he was equating it with the assassination attempt on Roosevelt that had occurred when he was shot. The bullet lodged in hit a manuscript he had in his side of his jacket, which saved his life. And of course, he later appeared before everybody saying, "Look, you can't shoot me down. I'm strong as ever." And I think we're going to see the same thing with Trump here. If he'll emerge as triumphant in this situation, already the one photo of him standing with the Secret Service man, his hand raised up in a clenched fist, an American flag in the corner, and blood streaming down his face. That's an iconic shot that if it isn't a Pulitzer Prize winner, it's got to be a finalist this year. It really is one for the ages.
I'm looking at what we don't have yet, and that is critical to understand where we're headed with a few months to the election. We don't have a shooter. There's indication that there is a shooter. Is that correct, Jeff?
They said that statements from witnesses there were that they saw Secret Service and police rush to one location, one person. But that's all they're saying. And, you know, the Secret Service got everybody out of there ASAP. Just as quickly as they were moving Trump out, they were moving the crowd out, several thousand out of the viewing area. So nobody knows for sure where and when. And matter of fact, TV crews were forced to leave their cameras behind. So we'll see what we get out of this.
We don't. If without a shooter, we don't have a motive, which is critical to a crime scene. We do have the opportunity. We can see it. So that's the information we don't have. As of 2 hours since the event, is there a statement from Washington?
There's no statement from President Biden. A number of other officials, Democrat and Republican, have expressed their horror over the shooting and sending their prayers and such to the former president. And, of course, they're speaking out against political violence. But to my knowledge, the President Biden still has yet to issue a statement, although he has been briefed.
And right now, what we have is that the rally was in Butler, Pennsylvania, which is western part of the state. And after the rally, the president was going on to Milwaukee because the Republican National Convention begins on Monday. Everyone's gathering there. So at this moment, the story that comes to mind is Theodore Roosevelt in 1912. Lance Morrow wrote it up for the essay that he publishes today in the Wall Street Journal, reminding everybody Theodore Roosevelt, the president, former president, was running for president again with what he called the Bull Moose Party, a breakaway of the Republican Party. His opponents were the president, William Howard Taft, whom he had blessed as his successor in 1908. And the Democratic nominee was Woodrow Wilson, the governor of New Jersey. The president, Roosevelt, was shot coming out of a hotel and getting on his way to get into a car to go to a speech. He was shot in the breast. However, he had tucked his manuscript in his coat pocket, and the bullet penetrated the coat, penetrated the pages, but didn't go very far into the president, as I understand it. And he insisted upon continuing on to his speech before he was taken to the hospital. So he gave his speech, and then he submitted himself to the medical team. I don't know what the exact details were about the wound, but he left Milwaukee. It was in Milwaukee, which is strikingly similar to where we are now. And he left soon after being hospitalized and went back to Oyster Bay, his home in Oyster Bay. There's a photograph of him getting off the train in Oyster Bay with his overcoat on, the same overcoat he'd been shot in, and he has a patch. My memory is like two Band-Aids over the hole in his overcoat. Different day, Jeff. Different day.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that was the bullet did penetrate his chest muscle, but it didn't penetrate the pleura. So doctors said it would be less dangerous to leave it there than an attempt to remove it. And he proudly carried that bullet with him for the rest of his life. So Teddy Roosevelt, quite an individual.
Yes, the Bull Moose Party. Now, the result of that election was Woodrow Wilson won with a plurality. Taft and Roosevelt split the Republican Party. And that was the progressive era. And Woodrow Wilson came in as a progressive. So was Teddy Roosevelt, a progressive. Taft was the conservative of the moment. That's the comparable shooting to what we're witnessing here. The photograph, Jeff, you've mentioned that several times. There is a series of photographs. There's a video available. I'm watching it on the Telegraph site of the shots themselves. The president speaking, and then pop, 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 pop. You've already described that. That video becomes evidence. everything from now on in is evidence. And I don't want to speculate any further than the fact that this is very bad news for the election. It reminds me in my youth of 1968, immediately after the Tet Offensive ended in January, February, with an enormous loss of life in Vietnam. There was a sense of dread about the election of 68, with Hubert Humphrey not the candidate until well after the beginning of the year, because the President of the United States, Mr. Johnson, chose not to tell anybody he was leaving the campaign trail until March 31st, after the New Hampshire vote. Once he withdrew, the opening was for other candidates, and Hubert Humphrey was a candidate. He was the vice president, but Bobby Kennedy became a candidate immediately and was extremely excited to run for the presidency until he was gunned down in Los Angeles in early June. My memory is June 5th. I might be off. And at that point, we had a presidential race that was, and profoundly in between was the gunning down of Martin Luther King in Tennessee by an assassin who was never linked to anything I remember substantively, a crackpot. The talk of the time was that Martin Luther King was a threat to the United States in some fashion. So we had a series of gunplay, and then Chicago Convention in August, which was a nightmare, a police riot it was called at the time, with a picture of Mayor Daley, a video of Mayor Daley in the middle of the floor screaming at the podium, I think when Nelson Rockefeller was speaking. It's all very, not Nelson Rockefeller, someone else speaking at the podium. It's all very confusing in my mind what happened, because it was black and white television. I didn't have a TV. I was at university, and so we had to depend upon the generosity of the campus. By the time we came to the Chicago Convention, we didn't have immediate video the way we do today. We would get packages the next day. And the election became even more chaotic as we got to the final vote. And Richard Nixon won. Not by much, but barely. I tell that story, Jeff, because it's in the mind of all of us aging boomers that once things begin to get out of control, they keep out of control. They don't stop. That's the lesson I'm taking from today.
You're right. A certain kind of momentum builds. And by the way, good for you. You were very close. It was June 6th, 1968, that Kennedy died and RFK died. And I think about that because I remember waking up the next morning and my mother, you know, we're originally from Massachusetts, so the Kennedys meant something special to us. And, you know, she was crying about another Kennedy being shot and, oh, my God, where are things going? And later on in my years, one of my first jobs out of college, I worked across the street from the old Ambassador Hotel, which isn't there anymore, which is where he was shot. And I took it upon myself one day after the hotel had already been closed to kind of walk through the empty buildings. And I made my way to the pantry and remember watching the documentaries and hearing the news that day. So those things are fresh for me even. And I'm, you know, a step behind you in terms of time. But, you know, we've been hearing increasingly over the past year or so talk about, well, what happens if there's an assassination or, you know, we've got to put him in a bullseye or, you know, target him or things that we've heard about being, you know, hateful, harmful rhetoric. And it seems it's been ratcheting up quite a bit. And it's taken on a new flavor since the debate a couple of weeks or so ago. And now it seems that Trump, for many people, is a presumptive, you know, person to be chosen in November. And so I think this is kind of, as you say, this momentum builds when you have these situations. It goes from talking about, musing about it, to talking about it, to people encouraging people to do it actually happening. And so you have these moments along the way. So we know that the Chicago Convention is coming up for the Democrats. That could be a real watershed moment as well along these lines. This is not over. It's just the beginning.
I see a tweet come up in London. You probably have the same thing. One suspected dead, says local prosecutors. Local district attorney Richard Goldfinger has told the local news WTAE that one person is suspected to have died at the rally this evening and that Trump is okay. No clarity whatsoever what that means. So they're reporting a casualty. We'll leave it there. Jeff Bliss reporting to me. He alerted me with a phone call. I was just coming in from outside. Jeff and I will have a report again in 24 hours. This is the beginning of a very strange time for America. So we will stay with it. Thank you for listening. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.